number four. And we still have a few things we want to talk about with you guys about the Broncos selecting Bo Nix. Got to look ahead, too, to the weekend that we'll be with Denver having seven more picks to make. One coming today, at least one. We'll see if they make a move to get back into the second round. But Broncos country, love to hear from you in this final hour. You can tell us what you think about Bo Nix. You can tell us how you feel about the Nuggets dominating LeBron and the Lakers again for the 11th straight win and now up 3-0. Or tell us how you're feeling about a 1-1 series between the Avs and the Jets. Share your feelings. Ask your questions on the RamosLaw.com text line. The number there is 303-713-1043. I want to talk more about Bo Nix here, though, and hear a little bit from Bo Nix, Stoke. Talking about pressure. And turning this franchise around. It's also, before we check in with Bo, Sean Payton, like, we talked about this, but they're kind of tied at the hip, right? And if Sean Payton has found his guy, and Bo Nix is the person that's going to help the Broncos contend in the AFC West, step one, be a playoff contender, step two, and then fight for a Super Bowl, step three, right, down the road. Like, you're talking about a guy in Sean Payton that's going to be looked at as one of the best coaches ever if he can do this again with Bo Nix. If he can have some of the success that he had with Drew Brees, I mean, Sean Payton's legacy, talk about what that, I mean, that would be pretty damn good for Sean Payton, who's already got a pretty solid reputation as an offensive mind and play caller in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Look at what he did with the Saints. A losing organization that was just losers year after year. And then he signed Drew Brees, and next thing you know, they went on this historic great run. He won a Super Bowl there. And so, like, if you can duplicate that here, take over an organization that was, you know, once at the top, that has fallen on tough times, and flip it around, and you find a quarterback in the draft, and it's the sixth quarterback taken, and you take that guy, and then you go on to do great things with him? Yeah, certainly. That's a big boost for his legacy and resume and all those things.
What did Bo Nix say about being the pick? You know, the guy that's looked at by Broncos country, by us in the media, and certainly by the coaches and organization to turn this franchise around. Here's how Bo answered that last night.
Well, it means a lot. You know, I just, again, can't thank them enough for taking me and for putting their beliefs in me. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot in the future that's going to need to be done, a lot of work to be done, a lot of growing and a lot of getting better. But I just, again, appreciate the value that they had in me.
All right, again, he's saying the right stuff. He is. I love that he's saying, hey, it's about work. There's still a ton of work to be done. He has to figure out who the heck he is as an NFL quarterback. But it's also, he's a little bit older, right? He's kind of faced a lot, transfer, played in the SEC, played in the Pac-12, played in big games. You know, he's seen a lot. Obviously, at the NFL level, there's going to be a new challenge to that. But I kind of like that he has that awareness of, like, this isn't an overnight change. I'm not going to be the man tomorrow. Like, I have a lot of work to do with this organization. Just grateful for the chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think, like, Bo Nix is going to come in here and we're going to have the C.J. Stroud effect, I mean, I'd say slow your roll a little bit. It's going to take a little time, and that's my thought process here. It's like, all right, this year is all about laying the foundation down. So in year two of Bo Nix, it's like, all right, now we're ready to rock and roll. I was going to say, I really don't care what happens this year. I mean, I do, but yeah, obviously you want to win. But at the same time, man, if I can feel great about Bo Nix in year two, Sean Payton in year three together, like, okay. And then also sprinkle in, oh, I like that slot receiver that we got. That dang Luke McCaffrey, man, he's a really good player, man. And, man, that fifth round tight end, he's showing potential there. And Dolchich, you know, he stayed healthy. Man, I'm excited about this offense in year two with Nix and Payton. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so like if you can have that's really what it's about. Let's not just think that this thing is going to go from zero to the playoffs overnight.
And I honestly still think, what were they, 8-9 last year, right? Didn't they get 8 wins? To me, it's a real possibility, like 99% possibility that they don't win 8 games. that they're going to be competitive in some, and we're going to see some flashes where you go, oh, yeah, that version of Bo Nix is going to have this Broncos team winning a lot of games in the future. But then you're going to see, oh, well, that version of Bo Nix could have the Broncos losing a lot of games in the future. He's going to stub his toe. He's going to take some bumps and bruises along the ways. But you do want to see everything kind of coming together at some points. At the latter part of the season, for sure. So I still look at it as that, Stoke, because it's a step back this year with wins so that you can take three leaps forward in 25 and 26 if Bo Nix is the dude.
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at this team compared to last year's team, and you're probably going to be playing a young quarterback. And, well, I mean, who knows if Bo Nix is a starter from day one or not. Even if it's Zach Wilson or Jared Stidham, young, inexperienced quarterback is probably going to be playing for the Broncos. Going to be difficult. We saw how they started last year, 1-5. They went on a great run. I don't know how they did it. I still don't know how they did it. And so, like, that's all right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to pick them to win nine wins, to win nine games, excuse me. What was the over-under? 5.5?
5.5, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that's Vegas. I don't know if it's changed or not. I'm sure it hasn't, but that's the number on the Broncos right now.
Yeah, well, let's keep an eye on that for Monday to see what it does after the draft, but I'm with you. I don't think it changes
all
that much at all. All right, one more from Bo here. He was asked last night when he knew the Broncos liked him.
I had, an idea because they showed interest. They came out to Eugene. They had some Zooms and all that stuff. But, I mean, to be honest with you, you never know until you get the phone call and you see your name or you hear your name called on TV. But, again, I just can't say how excited I am to be a part of this organization.
All right. I've been trying to figure this out all day. His voice.
Yeah.
Is there anything there for you? Like, I can't really quite put, like, my finger on it, but it's kind of weird.
I think you're right. Is it like kind of high pitched almost?
Yeah.
I don't know. Chicken fingers. What his voice? Are we trying to find something that's not there? I mean, because you are the official president of Bo Nix's fan club, people.
He is.
So just so we get that straight, like, are we looking into too much here?
He's from Arkansas, so I mean, there might be a little something there.
Well, I don't hear the southern accent.
Oh, yeah.
You don't hear it?
No, I hear more like just, it's like high pitchy.
Yeah.
Well, it was on the phone earlier. It was on the phone, so that might come into effect.
So maybe it sounds different today.
Yeah. We'll hear about it better today.
You know what I feel like? It's like,
yeah, but I don't think so. I think you're wrong there, Chicken Fingers. I think you're off.
I like his voice.
I know you
do. You like everything about him.
Yeah.
I love everything. He's got good hair.
He does have good hair, actually. Some thick eyebrows, but good hair. I don't know. I feel like this is going to be really weird. Should I share it?
I mean, you went halfway down the road. Now you got to, keep going. Yeah.
I mean,
you can't.
I feel like he's the main character in a love movie. And he's making a phone call to his love interest.
That's so weird.
I told you it was going to be weird.
That is so weird. I mean, how do you come up with that from?
I don't know. That's what my brain says.
Right. So weird. I don't even know how to respond to that.
What do you think it is?
I don't know, but not that. I just think he has kind of high-pitchy voice. It is a little bit like it's a different voice. I don't know. I mean, Not what you thought, though.
Okay.
Yeah. I think anybody in the world thought what you thought.
Oh, I'm unique.
Some kind of love interest in a book? What?
Yeah, like, have you ever seen the movie?
Kisner, did you think that?
No, but if he's romantic, I think that's cool, too.
Oh, gosh.
Have you ever seen the movie The Notebook?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Why would I watch that?
Because it's beautiful and you want to hold hands with Lana while you watch the movie? Well, that's where I was going. I feel like I could see Bo Nix in The Notebook and talking like that over the phone to his love interest.
Okay.
Thank you
for sharing.
I told you it was going to get weird.
Yes, and you were correct.
And it got weird. All right, we have some breaking news to share with you about the Nuggets and their bench, and we're going to have that conversation and share it with you while Jake Shapiro jumps on next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we're going to hit the hotline. We're going to talk to our buddy Jake Shapiro of DenverSports.com. Jake is with us ahead of the Lakers weekend. where their season could come to an end. All right, Jake, want to jump right into this, man, and I want you to tell us about what we're hearing the latest from the Nuggets is Reggie Jackson. He's in a walking boot and using crutches today. Michael Malone is set to address the media here soon, but Jake, what did you make of that news, and does it mean that Reggie could miss game four?
Yeah, losing Reggie would maybe be a bigger deal than people might realize, just because it seems like the Nuggets are poorly performing every time he's on the court. And to be honest, Reggie has struggled a lot, but he has meant a lot to this team this year and has provided a nice spark off the bench at times. He is one of the only guys in this series who has hit a three-point shot. Like, there have been a lot of outside struggles from the Nuggets. In fact, the Nuggets are the worst three-point shooting team so far in these playoffs, and Reggie has hit, I think, one or two threes. So that's been valuable. Reggie's one of two on-ball shot creators that they have with Jamal Murray. So if anything were ever to happen to Jamal, even as much of an ankle sprain or foul trouble, Reggie would be relied upon. And without Reggie, you're looking at rookie Jalen Pickett as their next point guard on the depth chart. So that's a huge drop-off. So losing Reggie would definitely be really bad for the Nuggets.
Jake, how you feeling about game four? Do you think it's a sweep? Do you think it comes back to Denver? How you feeling about the game tomorrow?
Hold on. I don't know if you can hear, guys. I didn't hear your question. I'm busy sweeping over here in my kitchen.
Well played.
I dropped something earlier. I think it was a ring. It sounded kind of metal. but, fellas, come on. Like, this is... I don't know. So if you play professional sports, you were a really good athlete in your time. You saw the game last night, and in that fourth quarter, to me, it looked like the Los Angeles Lakers quit.
Yeah, I mean, it. Well, it looked like they quit in game two, also late in that game. I don't know what. I don't know if they're getting tired. What it is, they came out on a mission, and then for whatever reason, they don't execute well down the stretch.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, the Nuggets are the best executing team down the stretch in the NBA the last 2 years, and historically one of the greatest crunch time teams in NBA history. So there's that, but I don't know if it's the Lakers' age with LeBron or AD's injury history, but it seems like they're making a conceited effort to try and manage the energy levels of LeBron, and it just doesn't work. There's a reason why Aaron Gordon had a career playoff high in both points and rebounds last night. It's because LeBron James didn't play any defense, did not box out one time. It was all AG because of LeBron James, and also because Nikola Jokic pulled so much attention to himself from everybody else. But you look at this Lakers team, and you hear the quotes after game one where I'm in the room and Austin Reeves just kind of sounds defeated. And then you hear after tonight or last night's game, and Austin Reeves is basically, we don't even have any more adjustments or answers, basically admitting that it's over. Anthony Davis literally had a mic drop already in this series after game two. So the 10-point lead, 12-point lead that the Lakers had early on last night, it was meaningless. Everyone knew the Nuggets were coming back in that game, and for them to just throttle up like that, I thought was really impressive. And again, I think one of the keys for the Avalanche's success 2 years ago and the Nuggets' success last year is the fact that they didn't just win series, but won them so quick that it minimized injury risk. So if the Nuggets can get out of this series in four games, that's going to do a lot moving forward for them, because this next series they're going to have against Minnesota is going to be a war.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jake, I want to get your thoughts on D'Angelo Russell. During the timeout, he's sitting 5-8 feet away from the team, who is huddled up, and their coach is talking, and he's sitting by himself on the bench, and he's just eating. Like, looks like he's eating fruit snacks. just like overall thoughts about how that looks for the Lakers, for their leaders, for their coach. Just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell's nickname is D'Lo. I've been calling him D'Lo for all morning. he didn't score at all in that game last night. And honestly, his performance against the Nuggets the last 2 years should mean he should never touch an NBA basketball again if I was a serious NBA GM about competing. His effort and his performance in the last two series the Lakers have had against the Nuggets is just embarrassing. I don't, you know, and I wrote this on my X Factor guide for this series, guys. When D'Angelo Russell scored 24 or more points this season, the Lakers were 16-3. In order for the Lakers to have any shot against the Nuggets in this series, D'Angelo Russell needed to play like the former All-Star that he, you know, he was at one point in his career. He is not playing like that third banana. He, in fact, has probably been the sixth most valuable player to the Nuggets in this series.
Talking to Jake Shapiro, he is with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Jake, who's been the second best Nugget through three games?
Deleting me. I've listened to our guy, Zach Bye, on the Mile High Hoops podcast, and he's completely right. I know you're right, Josh, because I know what you think about this, and it's Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, it is.
He's been fantastic, and I put these numbers out before the series as well, but Michael Porter Jr. per possession stats against the Lakers are better against the Lakers than they are against any other team in the NBA. And it's because Michael Porter Jr. is going against Austin Reeves, who's 6'6", D'Angelo Russell, who's 6'5". The Lakers simply don't have enough size for Michael Porter Jr., and it creates this massive advantage for the Nuggets. And that's the real reason why the Denver Nuggets are going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers 12 times in a row. It's Michael Porter Jr. that's the X factor, but more impressive than just him shooting the ball over other people because he's tall and grabbing rebounds because he's tall is the effort in which he's getting these rebounds. He's also driving the lane. I thought in the third quarter last night, he had this just marvelous, genius moment, like stretch of like 5 minutes, where he starts hitting these shots, so the Lakers start face guarding him with Prince. So then all of a sudden the Nuggets sent him on a backdoor cut. He scores instantly. Okay, so now the Lakers are adjusting and are going to pay some attention to the backdoor cut. So what did MPJ do? He fakes the backdoor cut, dexes back up to the mid-range, and hits a fading shot from about 15 feet out. It just was really smart basketball from Mike, and it shows that his development has been just, I mean, Michael, obviously, Nikola Jokic's development has been better than anyone about in any but NBA history. It's a second-round pick. But Mike's development, I just don't think should be overlooked.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jake, last one here. Thoughts on Bo Nix? Got our new quarterback happy?
I think that the Denver Broncos wasted the pick, and they're going to have one less weapon for Shedeur Sanders next year.
Oh, for Shedeur Sanders. So you got a quarterback next year.
Wasted the pick.
When you're going to win two games, you probably should draft a quarterback.
Okay. All right. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, really. Like it, Jake. We appreciate you.
I watched this guy in the Pac-12. I cover the Buffs, guys. Like, Bo Nix is really good. Like, he is really good college quarterback. He's also as old as Zach Wilson, the guy they traded for this week. He's not going to develop. He's hit his ceiling. And I've never seen a quarterback throw more behind the line of scrimmage. Bo, by the way, and this is the thing Broncos country isn't talking about enough, he ran for 500 yards 2 years ago. Like, he is a good dual threat quarterback, but the Broncos don't have enough around him, whereas the Oregon Ducks last year had first round, second, third round picks littered across that field. They were a really good team. Bo, a cog in that machine. Bo being a cog next to Josh Reynolds and Cortland Sutton, okay.
Wow. That's why you get Troy Franklin with the 76th pick today. Jake, we appreciate you, man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks,
fellas. I mean, Jake's acting like he's 45 years old. Right. He's just 24. Like, yeah. Okay. I'm not expecting him to play for 20 years. 10 years would be good. I mean, quarterbacks can play till they're 34 right now, right? So I get it. He's a little bit older college, you know, incoming rookie. But, yeah, that's okay.
If we all hit our peaks at 24, we'd be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know I certainly would be. You might be okay. You were doing good things at 24.
Yeah, still celebrating the Super Bowl this time when I was 24.
I'm not even going to tell you what I was doing at 24 because I want to keep this job.
Yeah.
We'll take a timeout and we'll react to a few things Jake had to say. We'll get back to Bo Nix and Sean Payton, plus check in with you guys on the RamosLaw.com text line. Broncos country, you feel like Jake does, or you fired up that they went and got their quarterback? Answer that and we'll react next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, fun conversation with our buddy Jake Shapiro of DenverSports.com. They're going to be busy over the weekend because it's a heck of a sports weekend. The draft's going to continue round 2 and 3 beginning in about 4.5 hours from now, where the Broncos do have a pick at number 76, and then rounds 4 through 7, where they're going to make 6 picks. We'll start tomorrow afternoon. We're going to go through some of the picks, tell you what we would love to see them do as far as positions to target, maybe a player to target before we're all said and done here. We were talking about Bo Nix, and we were just watching some of his highlights, and ESPN running their draft coverage right now, talking about his completion percentage. Stoke, I don't know. I think you and I are on the same page that you needed a quarterback. This is the guy that Sean Payton identified, had fallen in love with. And I've seen a few texts come through today on the RamosLaw.com text line about, oh, well, you know, he would have picked Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, so that's not his guy. Well, that's not how it works. Of the guys that were available, and even including J.J. McCarthy, I think is fair to have the conversation about. To me, from what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, and based upon the choice that they freaking made, it is Bo. It was Bo, even above J.J. McCarthy and above Michael Penix Jr. The Broncos identified Bo, and it sounds like several weeks ago.
I heard several months ago.
Several months ago, even better.
Yeah.
And then it all came to fruition last night.
Right. And, yeah, I think that was well said there. So, yeah, I mean, like, the Broncos weren't doing their homework really on Caleb Williams. He's out of the conversation.
Right.
They're never drafting him. I don't know how much they did on a guy like Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I'm sure they did a lot of homework on those guys also. But when you look at that realistically, the guys that they could get, maybe you could throw four. Maybe you could put all five of them in there. Maybe four. Drake May with J.J. McCarthy, with Michael Penix Jr., and then Bo Nix. And Sean Payton loved Bo Nix. I mean, I think it's safe to say that he loved Bo Nix better than Michael Penix Jr. He loved Bo Nix better than J.J. McCarthy. That's who they wanted, and that's who they targeted. And this was months ago. So he's been on Bo Nix for a while, and so good for him. Mm-hmm. And they got their guy, right? So it's that's who he wanted, that's who he liked the most, and that's who they got.
I mean, if it would have been J.J. McCarthy, they could have traded with the Titans.
Yeah, exactly. They could have made moves to get him if that's who they loved. Uh-huh. It wasn't like he went at four.
Right.
He was available there till, was it 10, 11? When did he go?
It was 10 because the Vikings jumped up one spot with the Jets. To get it.
So, like, if you loved him, are you going to just continue to watch him fall?
No.
J.J., no, you're going to go get him. That's nothing. That's not going to cost you a first-round pick next year to move up two or three spots.
And, I mean, honestly, it didn't work out the way that you could have cost them a ton, but you still made the Minnesota Vikings. You know, you were enough of a threat for the Vikings to move up a spot. You didn't give the farm away, but you did have to give a couple of things away to move up the spot. So you kind of played the game. You won it against Minnesota, and it still fell down to the quarterback you wanted to be on your team. So, I think if you're not taking Sean Payton at his word today, it's a little foolish because none of us know any better. And everything he's saying, if you are taking it at face value, last night was a home run for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can hear coaches talk and general manager like, we got the guy we wanted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's BS. You're lying. Come on. In this situation, their words are backed up by their actions.
That's right.
You know, we went through all these scenarios, and I think I picked all of them yesterday. You know, like I had them staying at 12, picking Michael Penix Jr. Mm-hmm. I had them moving up, getting J.J. McCarthy. So, like, I mean, I was picking everything, but like we've gone through all the scenarios. Like J.J. McCarthy fell to 10. If they loved him, they would have moved up. Michael Penix Jr. went at 8. If they loved him, they would have spent the farm and moved up to go get him. So, like, guys were available, and the Broncos' actions backed up what they're telling us. And I knew they were drafting a quarterback in the first round. It's not breaking news, right? They had to. They were drafting a quarterback in the first round. And the guy fell to him at 12. That's who they wanted. And if not, they would have moved up to get their guy because all those guys were available outside of Jaden and Drake May and Caleb Williams, and they didn't even try to move up. So they were content to draft their guy at 12, and they got their guy, and I love it.
Sean Payton talking after they made the pick on the Pat McAfee show, his draft coverage about that private workout they had and how that really was the workout that sealed the deal for Sean Payton.
I just remember we got in the car afterwards and I just looked around and I said, are you kidding me? I mean, the other thing was I was surprised how big he's 6'2", 218 pounds. And, you know, it's hard sometimes when you play on the West Coast, your games are on at 9 p.m.
Okay. All right, so just loved him. Love what he's saying.
So I like that. I mean, obviously, if you walk away from a workout and from, you know, a private workout and like, hey, wow, that was impressive. I mean, that's what you want, right? You want the film to be backed up by the workouts. And in this case, it looked like it was exceeded by the workouts. And that's all. Like, you know, you're doing the film study. You're doing all the other things. If you check all the boxes and you got your guy. And that's when he knew he had his guy. So I think that's I do. Like, overall, like, summarizing this thing for me is, okay, Sean Payton got here. He was in a bad situation, tough spot. We talked a lot about it. He moved on from Russ right away. Okay, boom. Let's rip that Band-Aid off. We're not going to pretend like it's okay. And then so now it's like, okay, how are they going to get their quarterback? Because this is going to stink if they don't get their quarterback this year, and it's just Spencer Rattler, because you know what? We just the first round didn't work out for us. Michael, Spencer Rattler, Zach Wilson, and Jarrett Stidham. That would be awful. Sean Payton was able to get his guy. So he's able to start the process of, so we can actually see the impact that he can have for the Denver Broncos. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is his team now. He's constructed it like he wants to construct it, and he got his quarterback to help with that. So now we know there's going to be no gray area here. Like, damn, Sean, he probably would have worked out if he could have just found his quarterback. He found his quarterback. This is his guy. Mm-hmm. This is his guy that he loved. He selected him with pick number 12. And so if this thing doesn't work out, it's like, all right, well, hey, just wasn't meant to work out. There's really no gray area here. That's kind of how I view this whole thing.
I love that, too. And that's a big part of it, of, hey, Sean, you've got now everything you want. You got to dump Russ. You got to pick eating the $53 million salary hit. You got to pick the quarterback that replaces Russ. Now next year you're going to pick how we allocate our money in free agency. You're absolutely right, Stoke, and that is a beautiful place to be because there's no excuses. This has to work, or they pull the plug and they try again. One quick thing. I didn't realize this. Adam Schefter tweeted out after Bo was picked. Alex Forsythe, who we think is going to be in line to compete for the starting center gig after
Kush.
Yeah, he was so important, I already forgot his name.
Yeah, Christian Lloyd.
Yeah. I literally was like, who was that guy?
That was good, yeah whatever. He plays center. Yeah, center guard.
Right. Who
don't
cares?
Another name.
But Forsythe was talking, or Schefter was talking about what Forsythe was telling the coaches about Bo Nix.
Oh, because he went to Oregon.
He was Bo's center in his final year.
Didn't even forgot about that.
I forgot about that, too. He actually had some great things talking about how his college quarterback commanded the respect of everybody in the room. He's smart, knows every protection, can handle all of it at the line of scrimmage, and then, as I said, has the universal respect of the entire team.
Boom!
That guy is now playing for the Broncos.
Let's go!
All right, final segment. How are we feeling about the weekend that will be? Who do we like for the Broncos to choose as this draft continues and wraps up this weekend? And do the Lakers get their summer vacation started Saturday night? We're going to tell you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Hey. Yes, sir, I appreciate it. Absolutely. You want to win a Super Bowl? All right, let's go. Coach Payton, what's up? You ready to roll? This is how we
roll. Yeah, Kev. They're ready to roll. Kev's ready to roll.
Now that you brought it up about the accent, and not the accent.
He's gonna get us a couple Super Bowls in here,
like. Oh, chicken fingers! Oh, what happened, chicken fingers? You got
I don't
excited?
Know. Apparently,
over.
I'm talking in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're talking about the voice.
Yeah.
His voice, and Kisner's like he is from Arkansas, and I'm like, no, it's I don't hear the Southern thing. There is some Southern twang in there.
Oh, there is?
I think that's what it is.
You heard it that time.
Yes, I did. Now that I was paying closer attention and thinking about that and knowing he was from Arkansas, I think that's what I hear there. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's that Southern kind of accent, and it's a little bit louder, too.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
You would know Whip? What part of Arkansas?
What does it matter?
Because I'm going to be there in like a month.
It's all the same.
Arkadelphia.
Okay, I'm not going to be there.
Alrighty then. Awesome.
Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Yeah, Bo Nix is the guy. I'm excited to hear him today, see what that draw sounds like, and see what the conversation is today. You know what I'm actually excited about for today? The Broncos didn't have a first-round pick last year. They didn't do any draft press conferences. Now, it's different because it's a quarterback and it's Sean's guy. I'm interested to see, like, the body language of Sean Payton today. How
he's just gonna be happy,
just giddy. Like,
is he gonna be nicer to us this year?
I doubt that, but I think he's gonna.
Well, he brought
be,
the media to dinner, and he brought him ice cream and stuff.
Right? Yeah.
At the combine, brought him the dinner. I mean, now he's got his quarterback, and he might be more relaxed now and not on edge. And
you know what?
So
you
feisty.
Might, like I could imagine, it's probably frustrating to be around Russell Wilson as much as he had to be around Russell Wilson.
Right.
Yeah, you're actually right on this. You're right.
And so now it's just like a breath of fresh air. Like, yeah. Oh, goodness, I don't have to put up with that.
He's probably going to give us front row seats to training camp.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Hook it up, Sean. Come on.
Give me some ice cream. No, I wouldn't eat it anyway.
I don't need ice cream. Just accommodations at training camp.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
That's what you need out of them?
That's it.
So maybe we do. Yeah, maybe we do get a different version of Sean Payton. But I am interested in that today of like how excited he is, or if you can see his excitement through body language and what that's going to look like. So that's coming up this afternoon.
And I would say yes to that.
I would too.
Put yourself in his shoes. This is the guy that, you know, you wanted, and you got him, and he fell to you. It's like, oh, gosh, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be, you know, Wilson and Stidham for the year with, you know, this seventh-round draft pick. I mean, this is thank you. Gosh, it just worked, and I didn't have to move up to get him. This is like, I would be thrilled if I was him. And I think you'll be able to see that from him also. Okay, we got to figure out the number thing. We got to do a guess. We got a guess here.
Of what Bo's going to wear?
Yeah, yeah. What's his number going to be, Chicken Fingers? We're gonna do the guessing game here for Bo Nix.
And we learned earlier that 0 through 20 is off the table outside of 16.
You think I should put some pressure on Peyton to see, hey, you're the last one to wear 18. Like, you go pay homage to him and just, like, you hand the baton to him and you give him, say, I want you to wear 18 because you're going to be the next great Broncos
like
quarterback.
Like, he shows up today and just passes it along.
Right. I mean, how cool would that be?
That would be pretty cool.
Right? Like, I anoint you.
Yeah.
The next great Broncos quarterback, you get to wear 18.
So you can change your number whenever, right?
Well, no, not necessarily, because now, like, certain numbers, like, if you try to change, you have to buy your jerseys back.
Oh, that's right.
So if it's, like, a popular player, it doesn't pay to because you got a lot of jerseys out there.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm honestly a little hesitant to give him 18 right now. And I'm all on board for this pick. Like, maybe he's 1 or 8 and then earns the second digit later. You know what I mean? Like, Kevin's...
Now, once you start, you're stuck. So once he starts with this thing, he's stuck with it. Could he just take Ben DiNucci's number 11? Just say, Ben, I'm going to take that. Let me get that 11. I've always wanted to wear 11.
Yeah.
Thanks, pal. No?
Yeah, I mean, he was 10. He's leveling up to the NFL. Add one. Maybe you're just 11.
You go to 11 there. So I don't know. Like, we're going to have to cut someone to get him his number.
I'm going to go with 16.
16.
I just think it's 16. If that's available.
It's 16 is available?
I believe that's the only one available.
Okay, that's the only one available. Ah, 16, no. 16,
that was Jake the Snake, man.
Yeah, no. 16 for a quarterback, that's not good. That's not a good quarterback number.
Wasn't Vinny Testaverde 16?
I don't, who cares? Vinny Testaverde, like, what? Yeah, like, you act like Vinny Testaverde is like, you know, Peyton Manning. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. It's not a quarterback number. It's not a quarterback number.
Okay.
I don't know. There's not a lot to choose from here. What's your preference, Chicken Fingers?
Well, I was going to say 8, but now Jared Stidham's 8. He switched numbers, too.
Oh, really?
Reason. Yeah.
Well, who's 4?
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, he could be out.
Yeah, Philip could be out. You know, you just give him the ultimatum.
Joe Montana was 16.
Look at you Googling 16s.
Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. We don't got Jerry Rice here.
Yeah. Not until pick number 76 when Sean Franklin comes in town.
Who we getting? Troy?
Franklin.
Yes. Mr. Franklin. Is it Troy or Tony? Troy.
It's something with a T.
Yeah. Mr. Franklin.
Yeah. We're
going to get it. We're going to bring that combo from Eugene, Oregon.
Troy. It's Troy.
Over to Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. 14 touchdowns over 80 catches.
That's what we're going to bring here. Let's go get ourselves Mr. Franklin to go with Bo Nix, and then that's our Jerry Rice, and now we already got our Steve Young. So,
I need me a Franklin.
Or Joe Montana.
Or a McCaffrey.
Either one we'd take.
Franklin or McCaffrey today.
How about both?
Oh, get both.
Let's get greedy.
So you have to find a way to get two picks.
Why?
Today.
We'll
you're talking about the weekend, though.
Yeah, I was talking about the whole thing. But here's the question. Here's the other question. before I forget. Any chance we take another quarterback? Any chance? Give us our picks. We got 76, we got 121, we got 136. We got a lot right there in the fifth round.
Three-fifths.
Right. So any chance, like, I don't know, Michael Pratt slides. You say yay, you say nay.
If Michael Pratt slides, I'm definitely down.
Or Spencer Rattler. I mean, just say quarterback to Sean Payton. Like that guy. Good or bad?
Yes. I'm in on it. Yeah, I mean, you have three in the fifth round. I would be down to use one of those on a second quarterback to see what it is. I don't think Spencer gets down that far. I can see Michael Pratt being down that far. But you know who will be there at that time is Jordan Travis.
The
Florida State kid who had the Seminoles at, 12-0 or 11-0, whatever it was, and then broke his leg and, got left out of the college football playoff because that was the right decision. But that'd be somebody I'd take a flyer on. Talk about having a chip on your shoulder. That dude's going to work his tail off.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to work their tail off.
Not like him.
I want more than that.
Like, he's got something to prove, you know?
Yeah, I got it. A lot of guys have a lot to prove that work hard that just aren't very good, you know, that aren't NFL quarterbacks. goodness. Work his tail off. Well, let's select him then. We're going to pick him. We'll pick him in the third round.
Hard work.
How about pick number 121, fourth round? Would you take Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler there with that pick right there? Fourth round, that's going to be on, Saturday, right? The first round on Saturday, because today's second and third round. Would you use that pick? You got a ton of holes on this roster. Would you use that pick to take a second quarterback in this draft?
I don't think I could do it right there.
Right?
Yeah, that'd be too early.
That's what Washington did, right? Kirk Cousins, fourth rounder.
Oh yeah, good call.
So, then at that point you're like, all right, hey, you're either doing it then, or man, we're gonna really take someone in the fifth round, probably not. That's the thing. It's easy to say. We talked a little bit about this before the draft. And I think we both said, yeah, I'd do that. But then you get here and you start looking. Well, we only got one pick today. That stinks.
Yeah.
Man. And we got a fourth rounder. We got a bunch of fifths. I really don't want to use that fourth rounder on a quarterback. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just play this game. Imagine if Luke McCaffrey's available at 121. I don't know. He might be gone second round. I have no clue. But imagine he's available there. I mean, that's what they're saying, like third, fourth round.
They were,
right?
Yeah.
Would you rather take like a second quarterback or Luke McCaffrey?
Luke McCaffrey.
Me too.
Right.
Exactly.
Are you giving Bo Nix an opportunity, more chance to develop and thrive in a couple of years or this year if it pops?
Fifth or sixth rounder maybe if you like a guy and you want to take a flyer on him. I would use Sean Payton.
They got three fifths. 136, 145, 147. Use 147 if somebody's sitting there for you. And it's your last fifth round pick. You've already addressed a couple of needs, you know, based on the roster with those first two. And you're just taking a flyer on a guy. And you know what I'd look at it as? I don't know if this is how it works out, but this is what my brain would do. I'd go, oh, that was the fifth I got for Jerry Jeudy. We'll take a flyer on a quarterback for one of the picks we got for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that's a bad idea. Like KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. Oh my good! I can't believe you.
I got one this week.
I can't believe you. Wow, man! You started talking about Jerry Jeudy. You're rattling it. I'm just sitting. I'm like, come on. He doesn't know. He really doesn't know.
I didn't know.
I know he doesn't know. Please, and I couldn't look up, and I just went, and I just was hoping, and it was okay. It feels good. I mean,
is Kevin going to bail me out with a whistle?
Yeah.
And he couldn't even do that because it's 4 seconds.
Right. there's opportunity for you there.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
You're good at getting me going on things you know I want to say.
You start getting Jerry Jeudy, you start getting mad and angry about him, and you're calculating numbers. And
yeah. And I'm still kind of upset about your Jordan Travis take about him working hard.
That's bothering you.
It was.
I just say, like, that could be like your criteria for a player. Like, I want to draft a guy because he's got a chip on his shoulder and he's going to work hard. Like, wow, okay. That's about 99% of the guys in the NFL. You know, they've all fought through adversity and they got chips on their shoulders and they work hard. But
not Jerry Jeudy.
Huh?
Not Jerry Jeudy.
I can't.
You did say 99%.
Right, so. That's the 1%. I'd like to look at other things
Okay.
When I'm drafting guys, and especially quarterbacks. No, but you're right. Like, one of those guys in the fifth round, I'm good with that. But the third and fourth round, I'm not using for a quarterback.
Me neither.
We need to get playmakers. What do you want them to do in the third round? What would be ideal for you? Position, do you have a guy?
I'm not kidding. It would be Troy Franklin.
Mr. Franklin.
It would be Troy Franklin.
T. Franklin.
Yeah,
T. Frank. Frank.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey,
It is Troy.
Yes, yes.
I just think it's a perfect fit.
Come to Denver.
You give Bo Nix.
Two for one spot. We just fly them in at the same time and stuff.
They know each other's timing. They know each other's rhythm. They can grow and develop together. You're giving Bo Nix an opportunity to throw a football to a player that he's familiar with. You know what else it does, Stoke? It makes Cortland Sutton expendable.
Oh, you're ready to get him out of town, too.
Sure am.
Checking fingers, what'd you say? What would that new combination of Mr. Frank, of T. Frank and Bo Nix be like? What?
It's like Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase.
Oh! Let's go! Oh! Let's go!
Mic drop, see you Monday.
Wow! Absolutely nice. Love it, man. Oh my gosh.
Whoa, we just figured it out.
Oh, look at it. And then fourth round? What would you like fourth round?
If he's still around, what's the tight end that sees, like Jared Wiley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because first was the pass rusher. That fourth round, give me a tight end, Jared Wiley.
Okay.
I like Dalen Halker as well. If you can't get Jared maybe in the fourth, that's a play in the fifth round as well.
Yeah, perfect.
But what about you?
I want Luke McCaffrey.
Oh, okay.
I'll take two receivers.
Why not?
I mean, when you got none, give me two, right? So two young receivers, that's what I would do, Luke. Obviously, I know him and was around him for a year there at Valor coaching. And so, but he's a stud, tough competitor. You know, he's a McCaffrey. So,
how about if the Broncos drafted a wide receiver in the fourth that you coached that's last name is McCaffrey?
How about that? I mean, you know it's going
to
work out.
It has
Goodness
to work.
Gracious. I mean, look at all the things that are coming together. I mean, it's like divine intervention or whatever you call that thing. So, absolutely. Love the pick yesterday. I'm fired up. I'm excited. And you got some good picks coming up this weekend. You know, today's going to be a little bit of a slow day because you don't have the second rounder. You're going to see a lot of good guys go. But like Cecil will tell us, man, the draft is made 4 through 6.
Yeah.
This is where George Payton has to do some work right here. You got to get a couple steals, Broncos, right? The fifth round, you got 3 fifth round. Find me a starting running back.
There you go.
I promise you, there'll be a starting running back in the fifth round, right? Phillip Lindsay, there will be a really good one in the fifth round. Find me one of those guys, right? Find me a tight end in the fifth round. You got three of those picks in the fifth, two in the sixth. So this is the time that George Payton has got to step up and redeem himself here in these next 2 days.
Another question for you, Stoke. Do the Lakers go fishing? Is the season over this year? And if the answer is yes, will LeBron James talk about retirement to distract everybody from the Nuggets?
He won't talk about retirement this year, and it's over, man. I've seen the Nuggets just like, they're probably not going to win this game. They look a little bit off. They're turning the ball all over. Lakers look great. They got energy. And all of a sudden, this is a blowout. So, of course, it's a sweep.
Yeah, it is over. They will take care of business tomorrow night and get ready for round two. Zach Bye, Phillip Lindsay, the drive sliding in here. Boys, what's up? We've had a fun
gentlemen?
Bo Nix Day, as Chicken Fingers dubbed it.
Yes.
We got Bo Nix breakfast burritos. We had Bo Nix Day. It was a beautiful Friday.
Crazy. Stoked, man. You said that the draft starts 4 through 6.
Yeah.
Well, first, you still got the 7th round. That's some good ones. You got the undrafted. The 4th one is because you were drafted the 4th, huh? So that's why you're going with 4 through 6, huh?
That's where you get the steals in the 4th. The steals are in the 4th. Okay. But I was looking at the Broncos with all their picks and with what they need to accomplish. I mean, this is they got to find some of those players. They got 3 fifths and 2 sixths. I mean, they got to find a couple contributors, not just on special teams. They got to find some Phillip Lindsays, you know, some guys that are going to come in and start and play really good football for them right away. And it's not easy, but like when you put yourself behind the 8 ball because of Russ and the cap situation and the trades of the draft picks, you know, this is where you replenish your roster the next couple of days.
Can't wait. This is fun. We have a real source of optimism now to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a big percentage of Broncos country that didn't like the pick. But you have, and I feel like, Dick Monfort years ago, remember, said, you have got to trust the organization.
Oh, yeah.
Well, to a certain degree, the Broncos country's trust is in Sean Payton's hands. Now we get to actually see what Sean Payton's offense looks like with a hand-picked turnkey fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for that because this guy is a damn good football coach. When he had a quarterback that fit his system, and I'm in the passenger seat for this one. You know, I wanted a different human being to play the position, but unlike any other year, and we talked about this for the days leading up, unlike any other year, it took absurd faith for the guy making the decision for a fit in his system. Yes. We don't know the intricacies and nuances of Sean Payton's rhythm-based, timing-based, tempo-based offense. And if that's the pick, man, let's freaking go with Bo.
Didn't have to move up.
Nope.
Got your guy, right? Got your guy. And, you know, like I was telling Josh earlier, it's like no excuses, no explanations now.
Yes.
Sean got the guy that he wanted. This was his guy. So now we get to see if it's going to work out or not. It's not one of those things where, man, Sean just never could find his guy. He wanted Michael Penix and he wanted J.J. McCarthy. No, he found his guy. So now we get to see this thing play out.
Yeah.
And give Sean a legit chance for it to work out.
Now, question.
Okay.
Because for every draft pick in the history of mankind, they all say this is how the man fell just perfectly. We had no scenario where Bradley Chubb fell. We just had to take him. It's too good to be true. Is there any doubt at all that one of the guys that he wanted got picked before Bo Nix? And the reason that I'm asking the question is because they say 85% of language is nonverbal. And I'm watching that press conference last night. For anyone who watched it, when Sean is up there sitting next to George in the suit, he did not look like a happy camper. He just didn't. Now, he has admitted, why can't I be happy? So I don't know, you know,
right.
Maybe he's just wired like that. But I'm looking at him up there. I'm like, he has
two lattes in there. He's happy.
Yeah, he's
feeling good.
He's loosey-goosey. But he didn't look happy in the press. Did anyone else notice? I haven't heard anyone say that, but I haven't heard a lot today from the station.
I mean, I also think it could be I'm just giving him too much benefit of the doubt. It's late. He doesn't like talking to the media anyway. He's kind of done with the process for the day.
Sure.
But if you're excited,
I want to go home.
If you're excited, you can't stop but talk about why what you just did is going to hit.
Because what's
the quarterback position?
I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my next point. Adam Schefter says he felt the same way about Bo Nix that he felt about Pat Mahomes. Mm. So you just drafted Pat Mahomes. He had like a scowl on his face.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
The whole press conference.
I didn't like that.
Did anyone else know?
Did you see how fired? I didn't watch it. So
check it out. You tell me what you think.
Did you see how fired up Davis Webb was when they made the pick, though? In the actual war room, they cut to that quick. Well, you guys were doing your thing, but Davis Webb was like going around fist pumping and high fiving and hugging everybody in the room that they had just got their guy.
Well, you see Atlanta high-fiving and fist-pumping and going excited about a quarterback they just picked up after giving Kirk Cousins $100 million.
Man, that was wild.
What are we doing?
Very, very odd there. I don't know, like, because, you know, I think about the Nuggets game two. I couldn't go to bed, you know? If you get your guy, it's like, oh, my gosh, I finally got my quarterback. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is so and maybe it's one of those things where it's just like you're worn out from the process. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did hear from someone in that building that was their guy for months.
Okay.
Months.
Okay.
That was Sean Payton's guy for months.
Perfect.
So, you know, take that for what it is. Yep. So that's what I was told. And so we'll.
I mean, he had it. We talked about it, Stoke. The Jets traded with Minnesota at 10. If they were in love with J.J. McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy was attainable last night.
It wasn't like it would have been a huge move to get him.
Totally.
Now, Michael Penix, you might have thought he would have fallen to you.
That's
and you might have been
thing.
Playing the waiting game a little bit there. You could have wanted Penix Jr. and been disappointed that he was taken. But I think the rest of them is like, okay, well, if it was McCarthy, you could have got him very easily.
Yeah, they could have.
So that tells me that
It wasn't J.J. My one built-in little thing in my head, I'm like, man, we talked about how quiet it was on the Michael Penix Jr. front. Was that really the first choice? And they thought he'd be there. And at the last second, he wasn't
for a team that you had no scenario.
You're talking about no scenario. You had no scenario where the Falcons were picking freaking Michael Penix Jr.
He didn't even know.
No.
He only had one talk with him.
No, yeah.
Well, that's why I was saying Michael Penix. So watch out because the Broncos haven't been talking to
him.
Yes. Well, we found out it was the Saints, it was the Falcons, and the Raiders that were in on Michael Penix Jr.
Yes.
And the Rams, too, right?
And the Rams, yeah. all teams trying to get up into the top 10 to get the same dude.
And some people were saying, like, he might fall out of the first round.
Yeah.
And then there he goes, top 10. So
but you guys know how that is, Stoke. You know that's all fluff. Because we all agree that without the injuries, he was going to be a top 5 quarterback. And I think a lot of people are like, we're willing to roll the dice.
Well, like you were saying yesterday, I mean, you know, he spent 2 years injury-free. Yeah. And so they check him all out. And sometimes they would tell me this, like, you know, your Achilles is better now than what it was before after surgery, right? You know, it won't pop. ACL, same thing. I'm like, I don't know if I believe you, but you know, that guy's been through a lot. But you know, and it could be freak type of injuries. He got checked out. Teams felt good about it, and there you go, top 10.
Yeah, Stoke, your body's fine. Go out there and get hit by giant men.
Yeah, you're good to go. Better than before.
A couple rounds.
Run
a couple day rounds.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, man, if you're Kirk Cousins and you just left a really comfortable spot in Minnesota and took a chance on the Falcons, and you're thinking they're taking a chance on you, and they make that investment, and your goal at his stage, that he's made all the money, it's I got to go solidify myself, my legacy, and try to at least get to a, you know, NFC championship game or something like that, I would be so furious with my decision making and the broken trust that happened last night.
Absolutely. How could you not?
Kirk Cousins' agent right here. Talked to him yesterday. Asked him a couple questions, see how he felt about it.
Agent, right?
Yeah, Mike McIntyre.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy. I get him on Greg McCarthy.
Yeah.
Shocked, disappointed. Didn't get better in 2024. Never said anything to me or Kirk about a QB coming in the first round. Didn't give us a heads up. Like I said before, it's just a business.
I actually feel a little different. I understand why Kirk might be upset or frustrated. But, dude, get some thicker skin, my guy. They just gave you $100 million.
I know, but a bunch of teams would have gave him that. He went there to try to win, and this doesn't help winning anytime soon. And if it does, that means it's your problem.
And it tells you they had no plan. Like, oh, yeah, we need a quarterback. Let's go get Kirk Cousins. Oh, my gosh, now we might be able to get a young quarterback. Let's go get him. It's like you should have had some kind of vision and done some homework before you give out $100 million.
Wow.
Would you at least think that the Atlanta Falcons would at least talk to Kirk Cousins and say, hey, just like Sean has with Drew Brees when he was going to get
Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes was, hey, this is what we're kind of thinking. You're the guy, okay? But we need somebody when you leave to be ready to play. And we're going to pick Michael Pace Jr. Not because we believe he's going to take your spot in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
But just because we want you to teach this young man. And when you get done playing,
man,
we have another option like the Green Bay Packers.
That would have helped. I think a conversation would have helped. But even if they came with him the conversation, it's like, yo, dude, there's thoroughbreds here with a top 10 pick that can propel this operation.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was one of the bigger draft day curveballs in recent memory, was it not? I mean,
it really was.
We were at Dave and Buster's. The room was just flabbergasted. I didn't hear the pick. I genuinely didn't hear the pick. I'm in the middle of a conversation. The gasp from the room, I snapped my head around like something was wrong. It was like, holy crap. They just went Michael Penix Jr.
And I was mad because I wanted him here.
I know.
I went in here. He went top 8.
Kurt still had. I mean, what they wanted Dallas Turner or Byron Murphy, right? That would have been the pick.
I think they don't need.
Kurt has his weapons on offense.
They should win. Got Brock Bowers too to match with Kyle Pitts.
But think about yourself. Like, they have their weapons on offense. They have their quarterback.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Sure. It's like I don't know. That was unusual because the length of Kirk's contract is the length of a rookie contract.
Mm.
I don't know. If I were in Kirk's shoes, I understand being a little frustrated or caught off guard, but I don't know that I'm making a big stink out of it.
You wouldn't, though. You wouldn't. You just got to Atlanta.
They're going
to
give me $100 million.
But it's not about the money, though.
Minnesota could pay him that. Denver would try to pay him that. Like, I think that he went to that operation in good faith of like, yo, we're going to go try to win a Super Bowl together. And this just doesn't help that anytime soon. And if it does, that means he's not involved. I don't know.
Good thing it wasn't with Denver. All right. I'd rather that happen with Atlanta. I don't think that they got better, you know, last night with that pick. But then again, hey, when Aaron Rodgers was in town with Green Bay and they picked up Jordan Love, everybody was upset. Aaron Rodgers was upset, and now look what Jordan Love's doing.
Yeah.
This is why it's so important. If you can have a rookie quarterback sit behind a great quarterback.
Well, he's going to sit there for a while. He's 23.
That's fine.
If he's 23, if Kirk sees the length of that contract.
What's 4 years,
you're
right?
Talking about him making his debut when he's 27 years old?
Well, that's what Jordan Love did.
Well, yeah. Well, 27?
How old is Jordan?
He's not 27.
But also,
he's not 27.
What if Kirk's coming off an Achilles that happened in the latter part of the season? That, yeah. We don't know what Kirk's going to look like in August or
true.
September.
Then why did they pay him? You got to pick one. They signed him after the Achilles.
Well, 2 years is guaranteed.
Good, Zach.
Two years is guaranteed. If he doesn't look good in 2 years, they can opt out and get.
But I think it would go back to Stokes' point. They paid him because they had no plan at the quarterback position. We're in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes? We won the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes? And then you get to the draft night like, oh my God, Michael Penix Jr. fell to us.
But he was supposed to fall. That was anticipated. That's why it's
a curveball.
That's
what you think, though, Zach.
That's why it's a curveball.
That's what you think. That's what everybody thinks. I would be interested.
So
to
wild.
See on the quarterback boards where everybody ranked after Caleb Williams.
I would pay for him.
Drake May. I'd
seriously,
those
I'd
three.
Pay just to see your draft boards. I'd pay. Dover, have a great weekend.
You guys have a good show.
All right. Sean Payton and the Broncos got their franchise quarterback last night just in the nicks of time, and that's where we'll start coming up next.